If you would tonight to James chapter 1. Aaron, we got a little bit of feedback here. I think both are on. All right, tonight's message, joy in the midst of trials. Having a correct attitude about difficulties and trials of life. Let's see. Let's start in James chapter 1. Let's read down through here a little bit. It's probably familiar to you, but let's read it. James says, "A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." The word greeting there means rejoice, be glad. Then he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." The word "all joy" there is emphatic. It means this: joy in the highest degree. Do you look at it, trials that way? I don't know about you, but we're going to read in the book of Job then a little bit. And we'll consider some things here. Let's continue reading. Verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. I pray, Father, that you would take your word. And I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would help us to get understanding from this passage. And Father, to be able to apply it to our lives. Difficulties of life come. And Father, you have told us we are to count it all joy when we fall into these difficult times of life. Knowing this, there's a purpose and there's profit in trials. And so, Father, we're going to look at that tonight, and I pray you'd help me this evening. We'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. James 5:11 says this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Let's turn, hold your place here, but let's turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. You're familiar with this as well, I'm sure. You've probably heard a number of messages regarding this out of the book of Job. Let's look at Job 1, verse 3. Job 1, verse 3. How many of you know a little something about Job? Raise your hand. All right. You've all probably read the book, I hope. If not, I encourage you to read the book of Job. It's, in some ways, it's a very interesting, exciting book. And yet, I always look at this and think as, by the way, you remember that God said, "Hath thou considered my servant Job?" How would you like tonight if God says, "Hath Satan, have you considered my servant Terry?" Whenever I read that, I think, oh, I hope I'm one of those in the back where God doesn't notice. I don't want to go through this. We don't like it, do we, when we have difficult times in our life, do we? We want everything to go smooth. Well, let's look at the end of Job, if you will. Let's first look at the beginning of Job here. In verse 3, it says, "His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I'll make sure I read. All right. Let's drop down to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now, as we read that verse, do you think Job was a godly man? He was, wasn't he? So what he went through wasn't because there was necessarily any sin in his life. We know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can't, none of us can say we have no sin, because the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But Job, God says he was an upright man, one that eschewed evil. Okay? And he was a very, very wealthy man. And if you remember the story, we won't take time to read it all, but he lost it all, didn't he? He lost all of his substance, and he lost, I don't know if we read it, I thought, did we read about how many children he had? I think I missed that. I don't want to miss that. Let's see. All right, verse 4. Verse 2. Okay, wow, why did I not have that in there? Oh, I was supposed to read, okay. I'm sorry, let's start over. Let's look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. There you have it, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, did he lose his sons and his daughters? They died, didn't they? He lost all his livestock. Now, let's turn to Job chapter 42. For those of you that know the rest of the story, you remember some of the things that happened. Like I said, I won't take time to go through all that, but I just want to look at the beginning of Job and the end of Job. Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. Look at verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. How many did he have before? 7,000. And 6,000 camels. He had 3,000 before. And 1,000 yoke of oxen. He had 500 before. And 1,000 she-asses. And he had 500 before. Look what else it says. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Did he double his sons and his daughters? He did, didn't he? Because his sons and his daughters were in heaven. And now he had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. I really believe that. Because the Bible says, God says, he had twice as he had before. And Job was a godly man. Now, who of us would want to go through what Job did? Tonight's message is this. 2 points. Trials are for our purpose, and trials are for our profit. Did you get that? Can you remember that? And so we need to have a correct attitude about our difficulties in life. I look at it this way sometimes. When I was younger and dumb, I used to lift weights. What was the purpose of that? By the way, is lifting weights really that much fun? Is it painful? Well, if you really try to get purpose and profit out of it, it is painful. You beat your body up. In fact, somebody who's a weightlifter would generally lift one day and then take a day off and then lift the next day, take the next day off, lift the next day and take the next day off. Why do they do that? Because their muscles get sore, and every time you lift weights, you're actually destroying muscle. And if you give yourself a day's rest, your muscles actually begin to grow back and get bigger and bigger. Now, we could liken this to a lot of different things, but it's not really a pleasant thing to do. But what is the purpose? Most people's purpose in that is maybe to, you know, build strength, or maybe they want to look good or something like that. But there is purpose and profit in it, isn't there? Now, God says this, that there is purpose and profit in difficult times in our life. Now, if you're going through a difficulty in life, I hope this message is an encouragement and a blessing to you. And by the way, if God's working in your life, you're going to have some difficult times. God didn't promise us it would be easy, but He promised us to help us. Okay, I want to look at a couple things here. First of all, as we go back to James now, please. Just wanted to read that about Job so you can have that in your mind a little bit. What all Job went through. What all he lost, but then what he gained in the end. Now, God is working on us. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm thankful that He is. Trials, for our purpose, or also a sub-point under that, is for our enlargement. First of all, to move us. Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Sometimes we get stagnant, don't we? We get stagnant in our Christian life. We get complacent. Do you remember what God told the Church of Jerusalem to do and the apostles? He said to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And He said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. Did they go? They needed to be moved, didn't they? God had to send persecution. And by the way, that's what James is writing about here to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. They were scattered. God had to move them. Sometimes God has to move us. We get lukewarm, should I say, at times. And what does the Bible say about that? God would rather have us hot or cold. And so God allows difficulties in our life to move us out of our comfort zone. Now, here we're either going to be glad or mad. You know, sometimes we, you know, you've known people, and when difficult times have come in their life, instead of it being making them better, it's made them bitter, and they're mad at God. You know, that shouldn't be the attitude. The attitude is, hey, I'm glad that God is working in my life, and I'm glad that God's moving me. I want to also see that the purpose of trials is not only to move us, but to mature us. Look at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this. By the way, I often thought about doing a message on all the knowings in God. You know, there's certain things we ought to know. And God says here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's achieving something. Patience here has the idea to abide under, to remain, to stay, instead of escape. You know, often when we go through difficult times, the quicker we get out of this, the better. But the idea here is like a crucible. It's a refining. It's a testing for you and for me. It's to mature us. What does Romans 8:28 say? Familiar verse? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Why? What's the purpose of those all things working together? We might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, right? So God wants to mature us. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. So He allows testing and trials in our life. We don't like it. But God says we are to count it all joy when we fall into these divers temptations. We're either going to act immature or mature? We're either going to be discontent or content. What did Paul say? By the way, did Paul ever have any difficulties? We laugh at that, don't we, right? Read of him being beaten, stoned, a night and a day in the deep, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of robbers, and so forth. What did Paul say he learned? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You see, trials and difficulties in life are meant to mature us. It's meant to make us more content with what we have. What was it? I won't go into that because I remember Dr. Hartman said something about, you know, do you remember that, Pastor? What was that phrase he said about being content? If God gives me nothing else, I'm content. Do you remember that? You weren't listening, were you? No, I'm just kidding. I forget the statement. But anyway, you know what? We need to learn to be content. We need to be maturing and becoming more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so trials are for our purpose, for our enlargement, to move us, to mature us, and also for our enlightenment. Let's look at verses 5 through 8 again. It says, if any of you, lack wisdom. By the way, wisdom is required when we go through trials. And you and I need it. And where does wisdom come from? Well, we looked at the Proverbs chapter 2, I think it is, that wisdom comes from God. It comes from His Word. And that's why, folks, we need to be in God's Word on a daily basis. Every single day, we need to be in God's Word. Reading, meditating, studying, pondering, so that we can grow and so that we can have wisdom that comes from God and know how to react in these situations. Wisdom is requested. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God. And then wisdom is received. Do you see God promises wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. You say, but I'm not really what I should be. I'm thankful it says, and he upbraideth not. You know, we come to God, and we come with a humble heart and sincere. God will help us. He'll give us wisdom. He doesn't say, well, Pastor Terry, I'd give you wisdom, but do you realize what you did yesterday? I think I'll hold off in giving you wisdom. Is that what that's teaching? No. He gives liberally and abradeth not. But wisdom is refused, verses 6 through 8. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what is the key to wisdom? Asking in faith and accepting it. You know, we have trouble with that, don't we? That word faith. Oh, ye little faith. Jesus often rebuked the disciples. How is it? He said, you have no faith. How is it, oh ye of little faith? Isn't that the way we are at times? We need to have faith. We need to come to God believing that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. God will give us wisdom if we ask and if we ask in faith. And so, trials are for our purpose. It's also for our enhancement. Look at verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The word low degree there has the idea of low estate, just like Mary, of not having much, maybe not even having much wisdom. He says, going through these trials and difficulties and asking for wisdom, God will help you. We can rejoice in that advancement. We have the right attitude and right actions. We are exalted. And also, we can rejoice in adversity. Look what also trials produce in verses 10 and 11. But the rich, and that he is made low. You know, and back to the verse 9 there, not only a low degree, but what are the true riches? The true riches are the wisdom of God, the things of God. Somebody who's rich may be trusting in their riches. They might even be trusting in their own humanistic wisdom. What do we need to learn from God? God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due time. Listen, we need to be humble people. And so trials can even be to humble us. Difficulties can be to humble us. By the way, who doesn't have pride? We were talking about that a little bit this morning, about contentions and so forth. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. You see, we're very proud people. You know, I honestly pray every day, Lord, empty me of myself. And I try to follow this example. Lord, not my will, but thy will. Lord, what do you want me to be today? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to have? And God will show us. God will help us. So trials are for our purpose. And James says, we ought to joy in the highest degree. You know, there's also a verse, and I didn't write it down, because it was a little bit of a different. But you know, even the chastening of God, and by the way, this is not chastening here. This is something different. But even in the chastening of God, when He has to chasten us, what are we to do? You know, happy is a man who is chastened. I'm glad God loves me enough to discipline me, aren't you? You know, your children know that you love them when you chasten them, when you correct them. And I'm glad God loves me enough to correct me. And there's times where God has to move me because God wants to mature me, to help me to be more like Jesus Christ. And so if you're going through a difficulty right now in your life, practice this. Count it all joy. Because not only that, trials are for our profit. Look at verse 12. Blessed. You know what that word means? Happy, rejoicing. There's another place where the word blessed means praise. Blessed be the God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it is. I just preached in a nursing home about that. The word blessed there means praise. We're to praise God. Bless God. But here the word blessed means to be happy. You and I are to be happy. Verse 12. Happy is the, or blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, we see the crisis endured. And then we see the crown ensured. Verse 12b, it says, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, we can be happy about difficulties in our life. Not always easy to do, is it? When things go wrong. But God's doing it for our purpose and for our profit. He wants to move us out of our comfort zone. He wants to mature us, to help us to be more like Jesus Christ. And if we will endure, we will receive a crown. Now let's think back to Job. Listen, we won't always get an A-plus in this, will we? When difficulties come, we begin to complain and murmur and woe is me, and we want to tell other people about it and so forth to have a pity party. But that's not what we see here, is it? We're to count it all joy because God's working in my life. God's working in your life, and we can welcome those things. And if we learn the lesson, probably we won't have to continue to go through them all the time, will we? But often we don't learn the lesson, and God has to allow us to be tested over and over till we finally get it. Look back in your Bible and think about all the people that have been put to the test. Listen, now we do find that God never tempts us with evil. We find that in verse 13. So let's not say when we're tempted to do evil, that's God testing me. No, God will never tempt you to do wrong. But God will allow you to be tested. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Aren't you glad about that? Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Listen, God knows what He's doing. And He knows exactly how to work us so that He can see a finished product. And I thank God for that. How about you tonight? Are you tempted to complain and murmur to God when things aren't going right? God says in His Word, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means lacking nothing. Listen, that means we get to the point where God, if you give me nothing else, I'm happy. I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Just like Paul said. That's the way we ought to look at it. But there is one thing we do lack, isn't there? Wisdom. And there's one way to get it. Ask in faith. God, okay, I'm going through this. There must be a reason for it. I know there's a reason for it. You're allowing this to happen because you want me to be matured. You want to move me from my comfort zone. You want to change me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. That's the way we need to look at difficulties in our life. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You, Father, that You love us so much. You've done a number of things for us. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Thank You, Father, for saving us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank You for loving us so much that You're continually working on us to move us and to mature us so that we might be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that we would learn the lessons. And Father, that we could even look at the life of Job in a very difficult years that it was, I guess, that he went through that. But James even tells us to remember the end of Job, because at the very end, Job had twice as much as he had before. And Father, if we would just endure those trials in our life, at the end, we'll be twice better than what we've ever been before. And I pray the ultimate goal in our life, the purpose in our life, would be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Scott's going to... Number one. All right, number one. Number one in your songbooks. My faith has found a rest.